Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We like having babies in church. Don't worry about whatever noise they make. We like having them here. They're so beautiful. Aspen is just beautiful, even though she looks like Brad. Just beautiful. A beautiful baby. But babies, I tell you what, they're kind of useless, right? I mean, they don't do anything around the house. I know I've had four of them. They don't clean. They still don't clean. They don't really do anything. They can't help themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't clean themselves up. My kids at least even needed help getting to sleep. They can't do anything on their own. All they do is eat, sleep, and poop. They're useless. They're the most pathetic beings on the planet. But God help us. We can't help but love them anyway. You can't help but want to snuggle them, want to embrace them, want to do all you can to provide and care for them. We just can't help it. In our passage from 2 Kings, one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, we have a man named Naaman, and he's a big baby. Now, he looks powerful. He radiates power. He is the commander of the Syrian army, a nation just to the north of Israel. He is described as being great. He's mighty. He's described as being a man of valor. He's in high favor with the king of Syria. He has permission to go and speak to the king as he would to anyone else. He's wealthy. When he goes to Israel, he brings loads of silver and gold. He brings 10 fantastic changes of clothing. He goes in power with his horses, his chariots. He's an important person. He's a master of a great household with slaves and servants. And despite the fact that they're slaves and servants, they seem to care for the well-being of this man. He is a man whose name radiates power. But he has a problem. He's got leprosy. And in all his might, all his power, reading between the lines, there is nothing that he has been able to do for himself to take care of his leprosy. He's powerless in this. He's a baby. So he goes to Israel after hearing that there is a prophet there that could heal him. And as he goes to Israel, he brings all his power with him. He brings his wealth. He brings his might. He brings the signed letter of his king to Israel with him. And when he gets there, he finds that none of it does anything for him. His power, his might, his strength, his wealth does nothing for him. He goes to the house of the prophet Elisha with his chariots, with his stuff, with his name. But Elisha doesn't even come out to talk to him. Elisha doesn't even invite him into his house. He just sends a messenger saying, "Go wash and be clean." Naaman is infuriated by this, though. Naaman, as a man of power, expected Elisha to come out and show some power as well. He expects Elisha to come out and make a show of this healing he's about to do, to call up to the name of his God and to wave his hand over the leprosy so that Naaman would be healed. But no, he just gets a message: wash in the Jordan River and be clean. Naaman's offended even by the mention of the Jordan River. To him, that's just a dirty foreign stream. It does nothing. Aren't the rivers of my homeland, the rivers that water and make fertile my homeland, couldn't I have just washed there? He's furious. And we didn't read this part, but even after Naaman does concede, even after he goes and washes in the Jordan River and is healed, he tries to give gifts to Elisha the prophet. He tries to to make payment for the miracle he's received, and Elisha will have none of it. Naaman, he's a baby, an utterly helpless being, but God can't help but love him. The Lord has a mercy, a grace to show Naaman, but he will allow Naaman to bring nothing of himself to earn it. There's nothing of Naaman that he can bring to receive this mercy other than his pathetic, helpless self. This passage is a perfect illustration, I think, of baptism. And if you want more information on this, watch my online Bible study from this past week as I go through this passage in more detail. Because when baptism comes down to it, it really isn't about whether or not we baptize babies or not. It's not about bringing infants to the font. It's about bringing utterly helpless people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about bringing ourselves that have nothing to give to God and then receiving the promise of God purely because God can't help but love you. He can't help but want to pour out his mercy and grace upon you. When it comes to salvation, I am as useless to that as Aspen or any of the other babies in the congregation this morning. We bring nothing to the table. You have no skin in this game. Your strength, whatever it is, your power, your wealth, your own goodness that you think you have, your abilities, your righteousness, they're just dirty diapers. But God can't help but love you anyway. From Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, we hear this. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. In other words, he saved you not because of how good you are, not because of anything in you that you might think deserves to be saved. There's nothing in you that deserves God's mercy. God saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you doubt how much God loves you? Do you doubt whether you have enough for the Lord? Do you question whether you've been saved or not, or forgiven? Don't. Look to the font where the Lord has poured out the washing of regeneration, his Holy Spirit upon you, where his word meets the water and so saves you. Amen.